It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Good morning to you, sir. They're already creeping up on you behind him.
How are you?
Yeah, Kelly's already fending off the peeps behind him.
It's like we just started doing a radio show here, you know?
We got a bunch of football on the show today. Football on a Wednesday, championship week. Will Hill will join us with all his plays. Mike Pritchard. Aaron Schatz. I'm bearing the headline. Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA, who does his stuff over at FTN Sports. He's going to put the Ravens and the Niners in historical perspective. Remember, we didn't talk to him before. We talked to him prior to Week 18. We'll get the final read on those two teams, DVOA, wise through the lens of history, and then his thoughts on the two championship games. Jason Weingarten, JVT, will chime in. Let us begin with how a numbers game, first of all, numbers game yesterday, Jim Root hit all the college basketball. Am I correct on that?
Bang.
Drew Dinsick hit all of his bets. Am I correct on
Bang.
That?
Bang.
You hit all your NBA. Am I correct on that?
Bang.
I was 2-0 into the night, into the overnight of tennis. Am I correct on that?
Bang.
Including a plus 179 dog. I was a set away from a sweep. Couldn't get it.
Way
couldn't
to screw up the entire show, Gil. Come on.
Yeah, I hope you listened yesterday and played some of those because that's a bevy of winners. Speaking of the Australian Open, let's start there. Before we get to all the football, let's do a little tennis, golf, and basketball. Tennis did go 2-1 with the plays yesterday that gave out on the show. It was one of those rare ones here in the Australian Open. Was able to give them out on the show in advance of the matches. Hit on Diana Yastremska, plus 179. She took down Linda Noskova, no problem, straight sets. Then the over in the Medvedev-Orkots match hit. That was a five-setter, which Daniil Medvedev outlasted Orkots. Great match. Medvedev getting to the semis. And Anna Kolinskaya fell short as the other dog, plus 174. She won the first set against Zhang Xinwen before Xinwen came back and won that match. So that's 9 of 12 now, 9 of the last 12 in the Australian Open, 9-3 run with a plus 334 dog, a plus 179 dog, and a plus 177 dog thrown in there. So the hard courts
not bad.
Have come back, ladies and gentlemen. Good not for that. Now, here's the deal. There are two women's semis tonight. By tonight, I mean in the middle of the night, our time. Both East Coast and West Coast, middle of the night. Two great matches. I don't have the plays yet, but just between you and me, it looks like it's going to be both dogs. And by both dogs, I mean it looks like it's going to be Coco Gauff as the play over Aryna Sabalenka. It looks like I'm going to take Yastremska over Xinwen, Zhang Xinwen. The numbers for both Gauff and Yastremska are spectacular. I do not understand the prices on both of them, so I'm thinking those are going to be the two picks. Don't hold me to it, but I believe those will be the two picks.
Both plus 180 in their matches.
Both plus 180, which doesn't make any sense to me in either case. Sabalenka is the favorite to win the tournament at minus 140. Coco, who she's playing, is actually the next short shot. Then you have Zhang Xinwen, and then you have Diana Yastremska at 14-1. Yastremska, a qualifier, who has gotten to the semis. It's not quite the Emma Raducanu story where no one really knows who she was, you know, knew who she was, really, main you know, casual fans. Yastremska's been around a while, but she had a doping incident, so she's had to work her way back.
Oh.
The men's semis are set. Those aren't till tomorrow evening. It's Djokovic against Sinner, which, by most people's pre-flop thoughts, were the two biggest favorites in this tournament anyway. And on the other side, it's Daniil Medvedev, who our buddy Reggie, who works here. He took my Christmas. I gave Christmas gifts to all the crew, $100 future for all of them. He chose Medvedev to win the Australian Open at 10-1. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Medvedev taking on Sasha Zverev in the surprise of the morning. Zverev beating Carlos Alcaraz, Carlitos, in four sets, which was a match that Sasha Zverev looked like he was going to put away in straight sets. He was up 5-2 in the third, 2 points away, and then Carlitos came back, and it looked like he could gack it, but he got it done in four. So that's the one surprise on the men's side. So
let's go, Djokovic.
I'm in. You got Djokovic here.
Yeah, I bet it this morning. Right, when I turned on that match, I was like, Carlitos going down.
I don't know if you know this. Djokovic is pretty good at tennis.
Pretty good.
Pretty good at tennis. He's won 10 of these.
This is what we talk about, though. Like, I bet in the middle of that match at minus 115, 16, something like that. And you're talking about, what was the number pre-flop of the tournament, plus 120? Like, it's, you can wait so many rounds before you get involved with such a, you know, such a minimal change.
That's the big one tomorrow, though. Djokovic and Sinner. Real quick, because the golf tournament starts.
Yes.
A minute on golf. What do you got here?
Yes. Real quick. Everything that I got. We got Farmers Insurance Open starting here in San Diego over in Torrey Pines. Here in about an hour, I believe, is first tee time. So outrights I ended up playing, went over a little bit of this yesterday. Keegan Bradley, I mentioned, 33-1 on him. Sahith Theegala landed on that with the boys after doing long shots yesterday. You can listen to that now wherever you get podcasts. 33-1 on him. And then my one bomb here, 80-1 on Luke List. And then did play in the winter without Markey because I do think those four guys at the top hold a lot of win equity in Morikawa, Homa, Cantlay, and Shoffley. So I played a Sungjae Im 16-1 winner without. Top 20s on Keegan Bradley and Hideki Matsuyama. Ludvig Åberg, top Scandinavian, plus 121. And then a little FRL action for today. Sahith Theegala and Doug Gim on the North Course, 25-1 and 65-1 respectively. And on the South Course, Keegan Bradley, 25-1.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Now, the big news in the old baloncesto last night, baloncesto, basketball, was that the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks, they have the 30-13 record, tied for the second-best record in the NBA, along with the T-Wolves out west and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Only the Celtics have a better record. 30-13, they fired their head coach, Adrian Griffin, which was not entirely shocking. Even during the in-play tournament, I remember there being a little buzz about him being on the outs already. He's gone, 30-13. Now, that was the reason for that, because you're like, 30-13, why would they fire him, is because of their defensive play, correct?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things, but probably mainly that. We brought it up during the in-season tournament. We brought it up in December. We brought it up in January. I'm not really shocked to see him go. I know the casual NBA fan, you're going to look at that record and say, how could you possibly fire this guy? But when you brought in Damian Lillard and you lost Drew Holiday.
Well, that was my follow-up, right? You lost Drew, right?
Yeah, you lost Drew.
What did you expect here?
Well, I think that, okay, you knew going into the season what you had and what you had to work on. And it was, okay, you're going to have one of the best offenses in the league, which they've had. They've had a top-five offense throughout the course of the season. And, okay, you're going to take a defensive setback. But how far is that setback? And is it just going to be at the beginning of the season and you need a couple months of these guys playing together for it to get better? And here's the problem, Gil. I think it was worse than what I even would have imagined at the beginning, and it never really got better. And there's another big thing. Whenever we talked about Damian Lillard coming over to the Milwaukee Bucks, we all sat here. I'm not going to bring anybody else into me. I sat here and was like, hey, you're going to see one of the most unstoppable pick and roll matchups that we've ever seen with Damian Lillard and Giannis.
They don't do that.
And we don't really talk about it. Yeah. So, in my opinion, Adrian Griffin he knew exactly what he had to work on when he got in there. It was developing that chemistry and that pick and roll action, which everybody runs in this league, and he needed to work on the defense. None of that improved.
So, the buzz, and by buzz, I mean we think it's going to happen, is that the guy who was advising Adrian Griffin, Doc Rivers, yes, that Doc Rivers, is going to be the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Maybe today we'll find that out officially. In case you missed it last night on TNT, just to get you all caught up, this is from the Awful Announcing article on it. TNT's Inside the NBA reported that CNN Sports, and by the way, they're under the same broadcast umbrella, TNT and CNN, they reported on Inside the NBA that CNN Sports reported that Rivers had agreed to be the head coach of the Bucks. CNN confirmed that reporting, and then TNT's own NBA insider, Chris Haynes, refuted that report, which had just been confirmed on TNT.
Yeah.
So there you go. But it looks like Doc Rivers is going to be the coach of the Bucks, and Kelly, it's not moving any betting markets, I'll tell you that right now. Not in any significant way. And this is the same Doc Rivers that, yes, he's had successful regular seasons wherever he's gone, whether it's L.A. or Philadelphia or, of course, more famously in Boston where he won one championship. Some might argue that the one championship was a bit of an underperformance with Kevin Garnett, with Paul Pierce, and with Rajon Rondo, and with Ray Allen. But what Doc Rivers is mainly known for, of course, as we've talked about almost each and every postseason here, is that he is 16-33 in playoff games where his team already had three wins in best of sevens. They've blown, Doc Rivers' coach teams in the postseason have blown three 3-1 leads. Okay, they've blown three 3-1 leads, four other 3-2 leads, one other 2-0 lead, and have lost Game 7 at home four times, five if you count the bubble. Oh, I'm not done. About those 3-1 leads that were gacked, in the history of the NBA playoffs, a team has come back from a 3-1 series deficit only 13 times. Rivers has three of those, which is 23.1%.
Yeah.
That's the guy they're hiring.
Yep.
And I have to tell you, Kelly, that I'm watching the TNT studio. Is Adam Lefko?
Yeah.
Adam Lefko is breaking the news off his phone in the midst of all this, where they thought that Doc was a done deal already. And he is announcing it with the gravitas of Cronkite taking off his glasses during the Kennedy assassination. And I'm literally laughing out loud. I'm like, are you kidding me with this? Like, this is not a needle mover.
No.
It just isn't.
No, not at all. I think the so to follow up on the reaction of, okay, let's take one thing at a time, right? Adrian Griffin being fired. Am I surprised? Do I think it's a wrong move by the Milwaukee Bucks? No. Do I think Doc Rivers is the guy? No. I mean, everything I just talked about. You're expecting Doc Rivers to come in here and fix this all right away?
I'm not saying he's terrible. He's all right. But it's like the way that the NBA, you know, community is announcing this. It's like, that's the difference between mainstream and the betting community. We're just like, oh, that's awesome. Can I recite your playoff stats again?
Yeah, when was your last championship? 08? Oh, cool. That was recent.
JVT's got some thoughts on this. He'll quantify the Bucks' defensive demise. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG.
That's ANG. NG as in a numbers game, Gil.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Randy Higgins. The VSiN live package is worth it just for Gil's tennis alone. Hell of a day, sir. Thank you. By the way, it's worth it for everyone's picks, all hosts, all guests on this network. We should have mentioned that when we were giving our golf and tennis plays earlier at VSiN.com/picks. A lot of reaction, Kelly, to yesterday's show from folks. First of all, Eric Berg, though, he says, where is Barry Lamar Bonds? Oh, okay, it's coming. We got to do. I'm sorry. We'll do that. We will.
It's
do
coming.
It. It's our annual tradition here on a numbers game. We'll get to that a little later on the show. This is from this. Let's see here. Pardon me. I just want to do the one more here, and now it's escaped me. But this was about the whole thing yesterday. Teasers and parlays. Listening to the replay of ANG. Always enjoy the math segments and the explanation behind 2-point conversions. Great show as always, Jets. There was a bunch of those about the 2-point explanation yesterday. No math on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. No math. Unless JVT has some, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us. He is the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with Kelly Bidlin and Zach Cohen. He's our senior NBA analyst, and he is a football guy as well. He joins us now. How you doing, John?
I'm good. You know, my article's up on the website as well. If you want to check that out at VSiN.com. And if you want to sign up for a VSiN Pro subscription, you can get 10% off. Use a promo code LIVE instead of ANG and give me some credit instead.
Wow. How about that? All right, live. Let me ask you this. Can you quantify the Bucks' defensive sort of demise under Adrian Griffin for us and why this happened?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a couple of things, right? And I do think that Adrian Griffin aside, and the fact that clearly there was some sort of personal disconnect in that locker room with Adrian Griffin. You know, we had talked about this on the pod a lot, Gil, where starting at the beginning of the year, it didn't go off very well, right? The Stotts thing, the fact that Giannis is openly like insubordinate, right, on the sidelines with him multiple times that we saw, there's clearly something that wasn't really vibing there. But I do think we have to look at the players themselves. You know, I've watched Damian Lillard play less than enthusiastic defense at the point of attack many times this season. And it's been a really big reason why their defense has struggled. Their transition defense is among some of the worst in the NBA. There's a reason why, right? Because that's an effort thing, right? That's not a scheme thing. That's a, hey, get back. And Kelly and I sat in the press box up in press row for the in-season tournament and watched the Indiana Pacers just sprint down the floor past guys over and over and over again. Those aren't things that, hey, Adrian Griffin needs to fix his scheme. Those are things that say, you know, you guys got to play better. And I think that maybe you get that once Griffin is gone, but there was clearly a disconnect. And I'll take you back to like the first month of the season. And Zach Lowe talked about this on this podcast where, you know, smarter basketball minds than I were watching that team at the beginning of the year and watching a team that was taking away some defensive principles from Toronto. Adrian Griffin, a former Toronto assistant, worked under Nick Nurse, makes some sense. And then you saw about a month later, they went back to this traditional drop coverage. And clearly there was some sort of Zach Lowe used the word mutiny. I think he was being a little tongue in cheek, but there was clearly some sort of, hey, we don't want to do this anymore. Let's go back to the way we were doing it. And I think that's the problem. I don't think Griffin was a particularly good coach. I think he had lost that locker room. But I also think that there is something on Giannis, the Bucks, and this locker room as well, allowing him to lose that locker room. And I thought it was just a perfect mix of issues that led to him getting fired. And I think maybe as we move forward, Joe Prunty, former Bucks assistant, former Bucks interim coach, by the way, I think he's done it twice now. I think that there's something to getting a guy up there that is at least going to get the most out of a team that does like him. Giannis really likes him by all accounts. They are very close together. So maybe that's going to help. But I thought this is a perfect mix of everybody failing, not just Adrian Griffin in terms of these struggles that we've seen for Milwaukee.
I think it's a great point. By the way, I was at that in-season tournament too, but I was too busy drinking hot cocoa to keep warm to have noticed that defensive struggle. If it is Doc Rivers, like, I mean, that's not – that's not the difference between them winning a championship and not, right?
No, I don't think so. Like, I think in I'll give Raheem Palmer credit for this because I liked the way that they put it. And it's something that I've thought, but I couldn't think to put it eloquently enough, which is, you know, Doc Rivers is good enough, Gil, to get a team that should be a 50-win team to be a 50-win team, right? Like, he is going to, he's going to be able to work the relationships. Everybody likes him. He's going to be able to get the floor out of that team. And that floor is a 50-win team. They're already on pace to do that. However, as we have seen multiple times in the issues in terms of blowing these 3-1 leads and all these sort of things that Doc has had in the postseason, I do not think, and I think history tells us, that he is a coach that adds wins on the margins, that has adjustments during a playoff series that would allow them to solve problems. And that, I think, to me, is the problem here, which is, cool, you're going to get Doc Rivers to come in and massage egos and be a good guy and allow them to roll the ball out and play to their potential. But when you get to the postseason and when you get, you know, a defense that is giving you issues, can you adjust in terms of your offensive game plan when you can see this thing slipping away? And history would tell us that Doc Rivers is not capable of doing that. And I just don't think that's going to be something that pushes them past the edge that they need to be pushed past.
Okay, after an NBA night that included a protest from Chauncey Billups and the Portland Trailblazers that the refs didn't see him trying to call a timeout. By the way, it's never gonna be upheld. Blazers lose to the Thunder by 2 in the closing moments. What do you have today?
I texted Kelly this actually. So I've got 2 bets that I've actually made. I've got like 4 others that I'm very much considering here, depending on what the market wants to do. But the 2 bets that I've actually made, let's start with the thing that we just actually talked about, right? Milwaukee. So I did lay 6.5 here with the Bucks. And part of my thinking is just what we talked about. Look, Joe Prunty is a respected long tenured assistant that has the respect of Giannis Antetokounmpo and the rest in this locker room. You are back home after a 3-game trip in which you got blown out by the Cavaliers and fought tooth and nail in 2 consecutive games in Detroit. You should be able to come into this game and play a very, we'll call it spirited effort. And on top of that, guys, as Kelly well knows, Cavaliers have been playing very, very good basketball. But I think we're at a point where we're getting near the market high. I'll take you back to last week. When they played in Cleveland, before Giannis was a late scratch, the Cleveland Cavaliers were catching 4.5 in that game. That would tell you that's about a 6.5 point difference on a neutral. Well, the Bucks are laying 6.5 here in Milwaukee. So clearly there's been a market adjustment on how well Cleveland has been playing. I'll play against that market adjustment, think that it's been a little bit too much, and I'll lay 6.5 with the Milwaukee Bucks. And the other, kind of going along with the vibes as well, you know, the other day, it was an incredible day. Giannis had a 38-17 and like 10 triple-double in a game in which they won. We didn't even talk about it.
No
Why?
One noticed.
Because Joel Embiid scored 70, Karl-Anthony Towns scored 62. But when Karl-Anthony Towns scored 62 the other night, his coach came out and said, that was pathetic. That was lazy. They were hunting. That was ridiculous. I think you get a really good effort here from Minnesota defensively after a really lackluster performance against Charlotte the other day. They're one of the best rim defenses in the NBA, taking on a Wizards team that is highly dependent on getting in the restricted area. This is going to be one where I think Chris Finch has this team really ready to go. So Wizards team total under 109.5. I laid minus 115. I think that's playable but to about minus 125, minus 130. But those are the two today so far. Bucks -6.5 and Wizards team total under 109.5.
Love it. Chris Finch calling it immature basketball the other night. From Cat, and really not just Cat, the teammates, as we like to point out. Yeah. It's really the whole team he was going after. All right, give me a minute on, give us a minute on each of these. Let's start with the AFC Championship, JVT, between the Ravens and the Chiefs, with the Ravens 3.5-point favorites here.
Yeah, so I've got a Kansas City future at 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to do some Baltimore money line here. I want to see how cheap it gets, although I might be waiting a little too long because we're starting to see this get to 4. But I think if you eliminate, like, where am I at in terms of a position, my heart wants to say back the dude who's just a pure winner. My brain says Baltimore's a team that has a defense that is going to be able to, I think, thrive here. They have the pieces to take away Travis Kelce. They've got a run game that can take advantage of a defense that is 26th in terms of adjusted line yards allowed. They have, I think, everything going for them in this matchup, and you could really see that Baltimore comes in and wins this game and wins by margin. I agree. I find myself agreeing with where the market's going here. So in terms of an actual bet, I will be on Baltimore from a money line perspective, Gil, just considering where I'm at. But I think if you eliminate that, Baltimore is the absolute side, given everything that they can do well here against the Kansas City team that has really struggled and is going to have to rely on a group of wide receivers that has been very inconsistent throughout this entire year, because the weakness of Baltimore is their corners, not so much their linebackers. So I do think that Kansas City's in a tough spot here, and I think eventually Baltimore wins and moves on to the Super Bowl. And as far as Detroit, San Francisco goes, I actually feel stronger about the total than I do about the side. I do think Detroit would be the side for me, but I like this game under. I think when you look at what San Francisco and Detroit want to do, it starts with their running games. Detroit, very low key, a top 10 defense against the run in multiple different metrics. I think they'll be able to defend very well against Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. On the flip side, I think Ben Johnson, I think the world of him, but I think this San Francisco defense, the ability to pressure Jared Goff, is going to stymie this team. So I thought 51 was a little high. I bet under 51, but I do think 7 is the side if you're going to get ahead and play it.
Such a great point, by the way, by you on the previous game, which is the Ravens' weakness of the defensive secondary of the secondary gets mitigated by the fact that the Chiefs' wideouts are a weakness. Such a great handicapping point that spans across sports. Dr. Bob used to do a lot of that in basketball. It's sort of like a thing that people don't necessarily process. Besides the promo on promo crime, great spot, JVT. We appreciate that. Thank you,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
At me, JVT, is where you can find Jonathan Von Tobel, once again, our senior NBA analyst and the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers. What do you know about that podcast, Kelly?
I know we're recording in about 3 hours.
3 hours. I got a Megapod after this with Cleve T.A. as the championship game guest. Will Hill is next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I hope you're checking out our new website, VSiN.com. It is sleek. It is good looking. It is gorgeous. Just look at this scanning right here. You got tennis pieces from Zachary Cohen. You got Mike Somich. How great was Mike Somich the other day on the show, by the way?
He was so great. He's coming back next Monday.
There you go. Talking NFL. And as you pointed out, Stephanie Kamerschak with their Chiefs, Ravens, and Lions, Niners first touchdown predictions for the conference championship game. That's on our new website again. Check it out. Check it out at vsin.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I always appreciate the feedback. I really do. Daytime degenerate. Where else can you get, he said, oh no, it just bounces on me. Where else can you get Nelly Furtado updates sprinkled with Bermuda grass breakdowns? I can't think of another place, daytime degenerate.
Damn straight, that's what we bring you.
Trust the glove. Some people are pigeons playing chess. They will crap on the board and walk around like they won. Just watch Purdy's ability to see the field. He's a big Purdy guy. John Burgo saying the look ahead line at several books on Niners Ravens is a pick.
Oh, interesting.
Already.
Okay.
Yeah. LDS. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me, not LDS. Las Vegas 514. I see a nature documentary in your future. And then one day, one penguin took one step to the right. David King. Who's laughing harder? Rhys Hopkins, Rhys Hopkins' agent, or the members of the NL Central not named the Milwaukee Brewers? What he is referring to is that the Brewers signed Rhys Hopkins to a deal. And the terms of which, Kelly, I should probably have been more on them beforehand, but it's a 2-year, $34 million deal for Rhys Hopkins. Rick Olier, when will the Mega Penguin Pod be released? Hashtag let's ride. Coming up.
Yeah, I didn't know you were doing all this voiceover work off to the side. You're like, what, you're one of those Morgan Freeman impersonators out there? That's what you are.
Deepak 48. I don't think I'll ever forget the phrase Kelly Bidlin just said. Ooh, Dad, what are they eating? Kelly and I were just talking about this off air. Is this okay to talk about on it?
Well, I don't care.
I said that in extreme heat, I think I would survive longer than most. But in extreme cold, I'd be the dude they start eating. And your response was?
No matter the situation, I'd quit within the first 10 minutes.
Kelly would just quit.
Like, whatever leader was like, yeah. All right, guys, like, we all got to band together and start rationing food. And who's going to go get firewood? I'd just be off the corner like, we're all dead. I'm sitting over here until I die.
Way to keep it positive. Yeah. You'd be a great tennis player. Like, just get down as soon as you lost the point. Corey Henderson, 775 Gil. We binge-watched American Nightmare on Netflix last night. It's based on a true story and more twists than a corkscrew. By the way, don't bet against the new GOAT, Mr. Mahomes. Well, he's not just the new GOAT. I have gotten more than one recommendation on American Nightmare.
Really?
People say it's fantastic. Absolutely.
Show? Movie?
Netflix. Yeah. Doc. I believe it's a doc. Maybe I could be wrong. Maybe it's not a doc.
No, you're right. Yep.
Okay.
Documentary.
Ladies and gentlemen, it comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's the always fascinating Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing very well.
How long do you think you'd survive on a desert island?
That's right. How long do you think you'd survive in extreme cold or extreme heat?
Well, I was a scout, so I mean, maybe 36 hours till I give up.
Scout.
I'd make it one night and then probably just lay in the sun and die.
Oh, those shows where like the person's out in the jungle and it's just him and like wild animals, and they get out there for 7 days. I'd be like, oh, dude, there's no chance.
Yeah,
no. I'm out. I'm out. All right. Speaking of wild animals, the lions.
Are either of you guys confident you can make a fire in the wilderness?
Not at all.
Confident? No. No.
Confident?
No. It would be a sheer act of God.
There should be a beast and survivor. You know, we have to go out and start a fire and hunt and forage for food. See who makes it the longest.
Oh,
put a million
gosh.
Bucks on it. It'd be great. People would watch it.
I don't even know who the favorite is.
I'm just so amused by Kelly over there. Like, where's Kelly? He's over there screaming at the tree. He's so angry.
You're like, try to make a fire. I mean, literally, I would give it 8 minutes, and I'd be like, no, there's no way I'm doing this. I quit. I'm going to lie here until I'm dead.
Hey, Kelly, little help. We're trying to live here. Kelly's like,
no.
Go to hell.
Me and this coconut are hanging out.
That's right. All right, Jason, what do you got in these games? What do you like with the first one, the Ravens and the Chiefs?
Be a good game. Taking the Chiefs again. Last week I said, give me Mahomes as a dog. It worked out. It was a pretty good game, I'd say. Could have gone either way, but it was fun. Chiefs won. I'll take him as a dog again. And then the Lions game, I saw this morning, and I saw David Purdom tweet that MGM Moneyline on the Lions is the most popular bet this weekend, which makes sense. It also makes me think that the value is probably on the 49ers money line here. We get that situation where big games, the public kind of takes the dog on the money line. So
just talking
if you really
want to
shop down, yeah. Probably lay a good price on the 49ers money line. I also expect at 7, the 49ers going to be a huge teaser leg. Everyone's going to have 49ers in a teaser. So that game, I don't know. I mean, like I've said many times, Jared Goff could be holding the Lombardi trophy on the stage at the Super Bowl, and I'll be telling you how much I don't believe in him. But that said, I'm going to bet on him this week, and I'm joining the public with the Lions money line, as dumb as it might sound. Jared Goff's like one of the top 10 highest paid players in NFL history, I think.
Yes.
Top 15. It's unbelievable. If I told you how much money he's made, would you believe he's made at least $161 million in the NFL?
Yes, because this is how, when these quarterbacks are signed to the big deal after their rookie contract, this is what it is. It's that big. Yeah, absolutely.
But imagine like just, you know, a system, a world where you're telling somebody Jared Goff's a top 10 earner in the sport. It's unbelievable, but you know, if he is what he's supposed to be, then he should go out there and take another team to the Super Bowl, which again, it would actually be pretty impressive. It's not necessarily an easy thing to, you know, take two separate teams to a Super Bowl. So really got to give Goff a little bit of credit for as much as we kind of, you know, give him crap or I give him crap. You know, he's done well his career.
Jason, this is great. In the span of 3 minutes, you went from hating Jared Goff to talking yourself into that you probably are a little too harsh on him. That was very good. Well done. And I think you're right. I mean, look, I was the first person to say, like, you know, with the Rams, I was like, hey, they should start over with the quarterback. This would be, you know, even, you know, they should do this whole new structure where they don't pay this guy all this money. In the end, they paid him and they traded him. But, yeah, like, he's on the cusp of a second Super Bowl appearance. So you got to give him some credit, right? He's the quarterback in both cases. And
there's only a couple quarterbacks who have ever done that. Anyways.
Yeah, no. So you are taking now, I'm going to be on the Niners. So, you know, I think the Niners show up in this game. Debo would help. For sure he would help. But it doesn't appear that there's rain in the forecast. I think that really bothered Brock Purdy in this ball game. As you look ahead now here, so you just took the thing with Mahomes where you're like, well, look, you didn't want to get in front of him. You took him against with the points against the Bills. You're not getting in front of that. You're taking him. Did I hear correctly? You're taking him again with the points against the Ravens. I am, and we had a whole thing where Kelly was, you know, doing a whole a shameful thing that he went against Mahomes, and so he was just blasting himself on air. I was on your side last week. Now I'm in the Kelly camp that he was in last week where I'm like, yeah, but this is the Ravens. I think that they're going to get it done. And then I could very well end up being Kelly this week is I guess what I'm saying. Do you feel like, because we just had Aaron Schatz on, he's like, okay, everybody slow down. I'm paraphrasing about the Mahomes magic of the postseason. You don't see it that way.
I mean, I totally understand the point and the you know, I would point out the Super Bowl with the Bucks where, you know, the Bucks just came in and smashed them. And if you bet on the Chiefs that day, you probably lost a lot of money. I'm not going crazy here, but I'm still backing Mahomes. If he loses, like, it wouldn't surprise me, but I think it's going to be a close game. Either way, I think, you know, you're looking at fourth quarter, somebody's driving with a lead change. But I know we're running out of time, so I wanted to ask you a question real quick.
Please.
What do you think about the Warriors game tonight coming off the layoff? It's a weird situation in season for an NBA team to be coming off like a week layoff like this. And, you know, there's also the personal circumstances and everything.
Yeah, well, it's the personal circumstances, right? It's an assistant coach who really in front of you, has this horrific medical event. And so the Warriors hosting the Hawks. By the way, the Warriors' DeJounte Murray talk, did that just go away in all of this?
Like, no, DeJounte Murray's just been linked to every single team in the NBA. Yeah.
So they're playing the Hawks, and they're 6.5-point favorites. I mean, to be honest with you, Jason, to answer your question honestly, I don't think there's a playbook for this, right? There's no script for this. I have no idea. I have no idea how they feel. You know, do they come out, it's behind them in the rearview mirror, or are they still somewhat affected? I don't know. I'm not touching it. Wouldn't touch this game. You?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting situation. I'll probably check it out tonight. I noticed it was...
Do you have anything on this?
My initial look was to Golden State, too. But
Golden State,
I,
the points.
I ended up scratching it off.
Yeah. Why? I mean, why get involved? Jason, appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend, sir.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys later this week. Have fun.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia. We'll come back. We touched on the MVP yesterday, but not at length. We'll do that on the other side, and Barry Bonds next. VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with the VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website, plus our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember to use promo code ANG, y'all.
ANG, that's a numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Scott Weston, hey Gil, does Kelly ever watch the VSiN commercial and think that Adam Burke is such an under actor? He doesn't shake his head, blink, or anything, LOL. As opposed to Kelly, So overactive.
I haven't seen Adams. Does Adam have a special one like Bill does now, or is Adam part? Were we talking about Adam's part in Bill's?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Adam has his own now. I haven't seen it.
Oh no,
so sorry, I can't. But yes, that's a fair description of the difference between me and Adam Burke. Anyways,
Mariners geek, check out Naked and Afraid, sick survival show. Deepak 48. Hey, Naked and Afraid. Oh no, he's calling Naked and Afraid and telling him we want to sign up. That's not good. And then Brian M says, "Hey, feel like JBT would be the Beast and Host Survivor favorite. People of a certain ilk involving plants tend to be very crafty and resourceful." And JBT chimes in, "I've crafted many a smoking vessel of different odds and ends, Stoner MacGyver." Okay.
I think I finally figured out
who I'd
bet on to survive the long.
Me too. You want to say that on three at the same time?
All right, sure.
Okay, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Greg Peterson.
Greg Peterson. It's Greg Peterson. It's Greg.
Yeah.
Only because, like, I know he runs, like, a marathon a day.
Yeah, like, the sun won't affect him.
Yeah. He's constantly burnt because he's running a marathon a day.
Oh, he'd totally win.
He would absolutely win. I'm not even sure how long he'd survive. He'd just survive longer than everybody else.
All right. Yesterday, the baseball voters, in all their infinite wisdom, came up with three new Hall of Famers. Congratulations to Todd Helton, to Adrian Beltre, and to Joe Mauer for their induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Every year when this happens on this show, I have myself a little rant, and so there was a bunch of folks on Twitter yesterday saying, "Oh, I can't wait for the Barry Bonds rant tomorrow." Well, you know what? We have video of it from every year that I've ever done this show. So randomly, Kelly has picked last year's. Here it goes, a little something like this. Every year at this time, I have my same rant. If Barry Bonds is not in your Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball, you might as well not have a Hall of Fame. And I saw that passing... wrote something about this morning. I've been saying this for years. This is the deal with halls of fame, if I may. We are caretakers of what essentially is a museum for a sport. We pass it on to future generations. It is not our place to be so arrogant to determine for future generations who they even get to see in that hall of fame. If you want to put a plaque by Barry Bonds or a plaque by Pete Rose or whatever that explains to future generations what it is that they had as a scandal during their careers, or in the case of Pete Rose, post-career as well, then you're welcome to do that. But to eradicate them from the museum entirely is absolutely the height of arrogance. And these people who vote, the baseball writers or whoever has Hall of Fame votes who keep Barry Lamar Bonds out of baseball, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I could go on, and I think I will, Jeff, just for those who don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who at baseball might have been better than Michael Jordan was at basketball. Let me just put it that way. Craig Biggio's in the Hall of Fame. He drove in 1,175 runs in his 20-year career. 1175. Barry Bonds' home runs alone drove in 1174. Jeff, you'll stop me when you get tired with all this stuff. You ready? You tired yet? I could go on. 2001 to 2004, Fangraphs WAR. Expos 30.7, Detroit 30.9, Royals 31, Brewers 45.3, New York Mets 46.6, Barry Lamar Bonds 46.6. Oh, there's more. Most intentional walks in baseball history. Bonds, 688. Second place, Pujols, 292. 26.3% of Barry Bonds' 12,606 career plate appearances ended with a home run or walk. 26.3%. Because they were terrified of him. And when he got the one pitch, he parked it. Anyway, there's tons of these. 49.1% of his career hits, 2,935, by the way, almost 3,000, were extra base hits. Let me just cut to the chase and go to the greatest Barry Bonds stat there is. How about that? In the year 2004,
Barry Bonds reached base 376 times. Do you know how many at-bats he had, Jeff? He reached base 376 times. He had 373 at-bats. No player in the history of Major League Baseball ever reached base more times than he had ABs. By the way, you know who second and third on that list is? Barry Lamar Bonds in 2002 and Barry Lamar Bonds in 2003. Do you know who's seventh and tenth on that list? Barry Bonds and Barry Bonds, 2001, 2007. Anyway, you get the idea. Stop with this. Stop with being so arrogant to keep this guy out of the Hall of Fame.
Smart kid, that guy. That guy was pretty good.
Oh, he was.
What's with the long pauses? Was Parles unable to speak in those pauses? What was happening there?
I don't know. Jeff was busy in the back producing. Okay, wow. Cut him some slack.
Anyway, that was 2022. Every year, we'll go about 2021 next year. Whatever.
It's so true.
It's just. And I just want to say this last thing. If you're on MLB Network and you have to gleefully be like Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer, who did have three batting titles as a catcher. Congratulations. But in your head, you have to be like, I can't believe, because this doesn't mean anything anymore. Anyway, there it is. MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
Who was it, real quick? Yes, Helton and Mauer?
Todd Helton, Joe Mauer, and Adrian Beltre.
What is, was Mauer the other Florida State quarterback prospect? There's multiple there. So it wasn't Helton?
Oh, Helton was a multi sport athlete also.
Yeah.
Helton was Tennessee.
Football. Did I say baseball? I meant football.
Helton was Tennessee, yeah. Wasn't he Tennessee, I believe? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was recruited by Florida State, though.
MVP for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 58, by the way, if you're scoring at home. That's how far we've gotten on this. We touched on it real briefly yesterday, but I just wanted to flesh it out a little bit. Lamar Jackson, again, we don't know the teams yet, but Lamar Jackson is the short shot. Again, this is correlated to what the lines are this week and who is likely to go. He's plus 220. Brock Purdy is plus 330. If those are your starting quarterbacks for the favorites this week, that makes sense. Then it's Christian McCaffrey at plus 350, followed by the other two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. So Christian McCaffrey wedged in between the four potential quarterbacks. Everybody else is 50-1 or longer. Now, we were saying yesterday, or at least I was about, because I got a question about Nick Bosa. Hey, is Nick Bosa at 50-1 or longer? Is that worth a shot? And my comment was, even if you think the Niners are getting there, they're so stacked offensively, and you would assume that Debo would be back if he's not back even this week for that. There's too many options, right? McCaffrey, Debo, Purdy. That for Bosa to win it, you'd have to almost imagine a game script where those guys were muted on offense and Bosa did all kinds of amazing things. So yeah. I couldn't possibly bet at him at any number.
I mean,
frankly.
Every year there's always the one defensive guy who's brought up, right? The one wide receiver who's brought up, and they get bets.
Whereas in the case of Mahomes, as we mentioned yesterday, if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, I mean, who else is getting it, right? It's Mahomes.
So I pulled up Super Bowl odds.
Kelsey would be the only other person you consider.
Yeah, I don't even think he'd have a chance.
I don't think so either.
I think it's more likely that a Chiefs defender somehow would win it before Kelsey would, because Mahomes would always get it before Kelsey.
Remember when was the running back the year when the Chiefs won it and everyone was convinced he was going to get it and then Mahomes still got it?
Oh, yeah.
So there, I mean, that's the thing.
So, you know, going back to what Aaron Schott said about the power of Patrick Mahomes, plus 380, that's the Chiefs' odds to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, they're the same thing.
So you can't bet this by
there's
proxy.
There's no reason to bet this.
There's no proxy Patrick bet Mahomes. Here. There used to be it many years before, right? And if we did this earlier, there'd be some proxy bets, but they don't put these up as early.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the two that we can isolate, I would throw out, you got to throw out the Chiefs one because you get better odds to win the Super Bowl. I would throw out the Niners because there is a chance I think Brock or McCaffrey could actually win that.
If you were forced to make a bet right now, what's your bet?
Lamar Jackson.
I think I'd go McCaffrey plus 350. Okay. Just for a little extra bang for my buck. But it's murky. It's not like there's one that leaps off the page. In past years, there has been. Not this year, as I glance at it now.
Yeah, the only thing that's tough with Niners, you don't know how voters are going to look between Purdy and him, right?
But he would be the guy if it's a non-quarterback. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from Visa, the sports betting network.